When I think of welcoming, I think of my family's traditional Passover meal. Some of you might know this meal from the Last Supper. Regardless of your traditions in your family, all cultures and communities have large and diverse family meals with a really complex family. For our Passover meal, we invite family, friends, and even strangers to a fabulous meal made by my wife, Sharon. And a lot of storytelling. And we break bread together. At this meal, we welcome people into the tent of our home and family. The goal is to encourage questions, to get people to ask questions and participate in the discussion. And you can learn a lot about people from the questions they ask. Our family and friends are really diverse. To encourage our children to ask questions when they were young, we'd give them a coin for each question they asked. That coin they asked, even if it were bad questions, we still gave them a coin. Each of you received a coin over this weekend. So I have you covered. But at the end of my remarks, I ask you to put that coin in your hand so we can participate together. That coin, so when you look at the set of individuals in our Federation family, we're going to describe them in four different areas. They are the wise, the difficult, the young, and the clueless. Isn't that like the worst soap opera title ever? The wise people ask certain kinds of questions. How can I get involved? How can I participate? What can we do together to make things even better? You know from the kind of questions they ask, you know that they want to contribute and feel like they're part of the community. They are a pleasure to have at our table. This yesterday morning, you heard from the McDonald Fellowship and Jernigan Scholarship winners who attended their first national convention to learn and grow together with us and 3,000 other people in Las Vegas this year. We are committed to growing our movement. Over the past four or five years, we've been working effort to build the next generation of leadership, consistent with what Jennifer was saying on Friday about building a next generation of leadership. Our chapters are the incubators, building leaders by giving people new roles and saying we believe in the capabilities of blind people. Through this effort, we are further committed. This afternoon, we're going to run a chapter leadership university to help grow leaders in our chapters to bring exciting ideas back to your local community. Our chapters leadership as well, we have really been growing in many ways. In the past 4 years, 9 of our chapters have new presidents. And we have been want to recognize that many leaders in our movement have lovingly supported new leaders to give them the opportunity to learn and grow in new roles. And we recognize those leaders for the true gift of passing the leadership mantle on to others. We have developed our Chapter Leadership Institute to develop and grow chapter leaders by building on strengths and reducing weaknesses. The Chapter Leadership Institute, or CLI, takes the best of leadership concepts in the marketplace and applies them to a federation setting. Joe Orozco and Dominique Lawless have been key to making this happen as the leaders of this program, developing innovative programming where they have really pushed our members in this program and guided them in a supportive and loving way. And we are very grateful for the investment and compassion that has come from these leaders. So I want to highlight two of these leaders. Jackie Bruce is in our Williamsburg chapter. Jackie is, when she first started in the program, Jackie expressed concern, and we did a mock chapter meeting. And at the beginning of that chapter meeting, there was the white noise that happens at every chapter meeting. We're all talking, having a good time. And she could not overcome the white noise of our little mock meeting. And she was reduced to tears because she couldn't get over this challenge. She worked in her chapter. She worked with her husband at home to try to work through this. And in August, at the next exercise, when put to the task, she whipped us into shape. Brittany Ingram is a member of our Fredericksburg chapter. She would describe herself as shy, and she had a challenge saying no, and therefore sometimes couldn't always deliver on everything she signed up for. Brittany has worked hard in the program, and she's really developed her inner voice and her inner confidence is truly powerful. She now, both for her daughter, where she's doing advocacy for her health needs, and in her chapter, has really found her voice. Brittany is the new chapter president of the Fredericksburg area chapter. We are truly excited for these individuals and all of the participants in our chapter leadership institute, and are really proud that we have another year for the CLI. So instead, now let's talk about the second group. We all have them in our family. They are the difficult ones. They ask, do we have to do this? Is this really necessary? Does it really make a difference? Why can't we just eat? I bet you have these people in your family. So the trick about the difficult people is they don't think they need to do the work of the family. They don't need to participate. They also believe in our Federation family that discrimination is a thing of the past. Things are just going to get better, and I don't have to do anything about it. There is a set of employers who discriminate against us as they talk about their openness to being a workforce that allows for all. I'm going to share a couple of stories. Edie Parker is a member of our Williamsburg chapter. In the evenings, Edie works cleaning for a contractor, the offices of the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. She's really valued by her employer, and she was recognized by the CFO of the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. The contract went up for renewal, and a new nationwide company won the contract. They brought on all the existing employees, gave them a new badge, keep doing your job. But they started asking all kinds of questions, because as a low vision person, they questioned whether Edie could do her job. She couldn't fill out the timesheet, an unessential component of the job. And we came up with all kinds of suggestions on how she could do this non-visually. Edie's boss brought her into the office and said, "We're worried. You could hurt yourself. You're a risk. You're fired." With the help of the Disability Law Center that we heard from yesterday, Edie has filed an equal employment opportunity case and is looking for a new job. But don't think this couldn't happen to each and every one of us. Mitchell Ford is a member of our Potomac chapter. For the past 6 years, he's worked at George Washington University, initially as a part-time Arabic tutor. And the students loved him so much, they demanded he start teaching classes, and GW brought him on full-time as an instructor in Arabic. Mitch, during the summers, spends his time using Skype in the evenings to tutor students. And as a result, as his vision continued to decrease, Mitch thought, I should up my blindness skills. I should go to Blind Inc., our National Federation of the Blind Training Center in Minnesota, and develop the skills over the summer while still working nights for George Washington University as a tutor. This was a reasonable accommodation George Washington University rejected. And Mitch went and asked the EEO office, hey, what's going on with this? Can I appeal? Within 2 weeks, Mitch was demoted to part-time, stripped of his teaching responsibilities, moved to hourly at half the rate he started at 6 years ago. You should know that Mitch is being represented by NFB-funded attorneys Scott Labar and our very own Deepa Garaya. Mitch has also moved on. He is now a teacher full-time at Fairfax High School teaching Arabic, and he is a Project Rise mentor. These examples talk about employment discrimination, and they happen all the time. Discrimination happens, and suddenly, oftentimes we hear people reach out to me and say, I've got a challenge. When these people reach out to me, maybe they're coming to the National Federation of the Blind for the first time. They've known about us, but they never thought they needed to get involved. We sometimes help them, even though they're not members. But the first question President Riccobono asked me is this person an active member? Low expectations are insidious, and discrimination does happen. We need you to be a member and actively participating in the National Federation of the Blind when times are good and everything's okay, because there may be times when things are not so good and you're facing discrimination and you need the support of the National Federation of the Blind. We need you to be our active members, to be there to support others in their efforts. Moving on to the third group, the young. They ask different kinds of questions. What is going on? Can I do what everybody else does? Can I dream? The National Federation of the Blind of Virginia is committed to ensuring that students and their parents are able to be successful. IEP meetings, individual education plan meetings for students in K through 12. As Beth mentioned, Sandy Halverson, Nancy Yeager, and a number of others have crisscrossed the state to ensure that students are getting the educational resources they need, that alternative techniques are being taught, and they get access to a quality education. We are grateful for their efforts. The Braille Readers or Leaders Program is a national effort to encourage Braille literacy and encourage people for academic success. Virginia had more than any other state, 23 students participate in the Braille Readers or Leaders Program, and we recognize every one of those students. Our scholarship program, led by Patrick Johnson, had six finalists this year, and you just heard from them. And we have our Virginia Association of Blind Students, led by Gerald Meredith, that is an active force in our community, encouraging people to be members, and helped us pull off a great seminar back in August for students across the Southeast. I want to highlight, though, our probably largest commitment, which is Project Rise. As Catherine mentioned, this is a pre-employment transition program for students 14 to 21. We have 35 students in the program across the state. We ran four statewide weekend-long seminars, five Saturday programs in Northern Virginia. We have students from across the Commonwealth. And this program was just a dream 2 years ago, and now is a powerful force in our community. I want to highlight two of our students in the program who are really achieving results. But before that, I just want to give you a couple of things to think about. We had 15 informational interviews, 4 job shadows, 6 summer internships. How did that happen? Many of that happened because you, our members, helped make that happen. We are focused on and delivering service that is remarkable because of the membership of the National Federation of the Blind. Lizzie Schoen is a senior in high school. She has a bright future and real aspirations. Before connecting with us, she had positive mentors, but no one was blind. She believed that blindness created a true complication to anything she would achieve. On day one of our program 2 years ago, she would never be found with a cane. Through Project Rise, she was able to realize understand what could be possible. Over her education, she had received no Braille education and not a lot of access to technology, and she was now struggling to keep up with her demanding academic coursework. Over the summer, she spent 2 weeks at Blind Inc., our National Federation of Blind Training Center in Minneapolis, and she had a complete immersion in blindness skills. She is now, with the help and advocacy of Catherine Webster, our program coordinator, receiving an hour of Braille every single day of her senior year of high school. You will not find Lizzie without a cane. She will always have her cane. And you will find Lizzie is a confident adult ready to take on college. She is currently the vice president of our Virginia Association of Blind Students, and I had the pleasure of working with her both in Richmond and in Washington seminars, where she helped advocate for the issues important to us with our legislators. A second student is Andrea Ortiz. Andrea would describe herself. Andrea would describe herself as someone who was really fearful of her vision loss, and she never used a cane, and she was not confident in her skills. She had no blind role models, and she was hesitant each and every day of her life. Through Project Rise, she's connected with a community, and she considers the Federation a family. She has now started using her cane all the time and started learning Braille. You'd heard from her yesterday as one of our McDonald Fellowship winners. And she really connected with people at the convention, students from across the country. She worked the past 2 summers at the DC Bell program. And this year, she was using learning shades with the other students to make sure she could also, as she worked the program, learn from the program. This program has a dynamic team of leaders. Catherine Webster and Ariel Silverman are program coordinator and deputy coordinator. Yeah, give it up for them. Catherine brings creativity, positive energy, and insights well beyond her years. Ariel brings intelligence, organizational skills, and a commitment to our students. These women love our students, and our students love them. But in addition, we have mentors. John Bailey, over the past year, Mark Canamasso, Sarah Patnod, Susie DeMello, Mitchell Ford, Vivian Freitas, Deepa Garaya, Jeremy Grandstaff, okay, Jimmy Morris, Evelyn Valdez, Joe Orozco, and I think I've got everybody. But really what worked was all of you also volunteering and helping to make this possible. All of those individualized things happened because all of you helped make these things possible. The last group is the clueless. Most people don't have any idea how you get anything done. And they need us to explain how we do things and what we really need. It's our job, whether we like it or not. Legislators are amongst that group. They don't know, and sometimes they need us to explain that to them. Sometimes I'm surprised, things in the Virginia General Assembly or in Congress, where things that are really important, they have no idea should move forward. And other things they think should move forward are really, really bad ideas. Thank goodness for the National Federation of the Blind of Virginia. You have advocated, you've taken the call to participate actively. In Richmond, 50 people participated in our Richmond seminar, and we kept coming after you to help with our advocacy for rehabilitation services and to fight off efforts to reduce the protections under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Through this effort, you have helped convince Governor Northam that he should veto this horrible legislation. And we are know that we accomplished this by all the work we did together. We partnered with the other disability groups in a broad partnership, but it was the leadership of the National Federation of the Blind and our members who really were there calling members in the Virginia General Assembly and making it clear that this was just bad. Now, the credit unions are probably one of the strongest lobbyists in Richmond, but they're not bad. They're just unaware. And we stand ready to partner with them to show them all that is possible, because we know what is possible for blind people. Derek Manners, Mark Roan, and Earl Everett were key to many of the committee meetings in Richmond, and we are truly grateful for their leadership in our legislative efforts. In Washington, we had 30 people participate in our Washington seminar, coordinated by Deepa Garaya. Our efforts are in Washington helped us really connect with members of Congress, and we had meetings with all of the offices of our entire Virginia congressional delegation. Through that, we build relationships. And I want to highlight one of those relationships, because Congressman Bobby Scott, chair of the House Education and the Workforce Committee, is coming to our banquet. He is the Congressman Scott is the sponsor of the Transition to Competitive Employment bill, bipartisan legislation in both the House and the Senate to eliminate sub-minimum wages. People are getting paid below the minimum wage if they are a person with can be paid below the minimum wage if they are a person with disability. This is a discriminatory artifact of the 1930s that's still around, and Congressman Scott is a stalwart supporter. But he didn't start out that way. That didn't happen because it happened because our members in our local chapters built relationships, explained how horrible this was, and how he could make a difference. And you need to support that at the banquet to make sure it's clear. We want to him to push hard to eliminate sub-minimum wages and move this forward, and we really appreciate him being a champion. But we really appreciate the efforts of our members to build these relationships. So in addition to this, we have a whole effort to ensure that we reach out beyond that to the general public and to the blind in the community. Our efforts include a variety of events like the Winchester Apple Blossom Festival, the Rivers and Bays, Fredericksburg, Richmond Walks with the Blind, the efforts to have Read to Schools in the Fairfax, Arlington, or Potomac and Greater Alexandria chapter, and a variety of other programs where we are ensuring we get our name out there and we are in the community. I want to highlight two of these events. In Richmond, I have that pleasure to attend the Richmond Chili Cook-Off this year. The chili was great, but the event was special because we, in addition to raising funds, we connected with community. Many of the individuals in this effort were in the community partnering with us. I enjoyed the phenomenal Lucky Charms beer that was magically delicious. But what I really enjoyed was the fact that this community made it possible for us to observe that what is really special, we are part of the fabric of our community. We are members of our community and we did things together. And those are the kinds of programs we need to run. Our Potomac chapter ran a high and low tech fair where we invited the general community and we had 25 people who we didn't know come to this event, learn about technology. I had the opportunity to demonstrate at this event the Google Home, which is actually the only woman that actually listens to me in the Sofranco household. But through this process, I got to meet, and many of you got to meet, new people. And those new people are here at this convention today. What are you doing within your chapter to grow the Federation and reach out to new people? How are we opening the tent and working to make sure all are able to participate and learn from our Federation? What are we doing to make sure people learn about the gift that is our positive philosophy? If you're wondering, what is this philosophy thing he's talking about? Come to our welcome lunch today and come to the banquet and learn about our positive philosophy where we share all of what is possible for blind people. When I think about what it takes to do this work, I think what a pleasure it is to serve as your president and to serve and preside over this convention. We appreciate the hard work within your chapters and across the affiliate to make our efforts a success. We've had great work of our host chapters, the Peninsula and Tidewater chapters, and our presidents, Eureka Harrison and Stuart Prost, have been instrumental to making this family reunion a success. Yeah, give it up for them. An affiliate runs because so many people work hard and tirelessly to make it happen. When I think about the people at the leadership table of our Federation, I think of a few people. From a financial resources perspective, there is no better steward of our resources than our treasurer, Mark Rohn. Through our efforts in Project Rise, the volume of our financial transactions has gone through the roof. But also, Mark is often described as our man in Richmond, advocating for us in the Virginia General Assembly. Every leader needs someone they can bounce ideas off of. And my go-to person for that is our Vice President, Sandy Halverson. Sandy lets me bounce ideas around, encourages me, but also tells me when I'm going off the deep end. And you should be really grateful she ensures we don't go off the deep end. Thank you, Sandy. Joe Hobson is my special advisor who encourages me to be bold, but also tells me when I'm taking myself too seriously. Joe Orozco served as boss dog for this convention. Things, this convention happened because Joe coordinated across so many of you. And he also keeps us informed through the newsletter and with the help of Sarah Patnod and Kathy Schroeder. We relaunched our website. We are, Sarah has increased our presence on, Sarah Patnod has been critical of our presence on Facebook and now on Twitter. We are really moving forward to make sure communication happens in the National Federation of the Blind. And at the head of the table, for my personal family, the rock of my personal family is my wife, Sharon Safranco. I could not do this job without her, and I am so grateful to have her as my partner. Now, thank you. Okay. Now, I ask you to take, here's my charge to you. Take the coin and put it in your hand. On the face of it, it says TGR in Braille, together. All we accomplished together. It takes each and every one of you. While each coin is exactly the same, each of us is different. Our differences is the strength of the National Federation of the Blind. There is no cookie cutter way to be a Federationist. But each of you gets the same charge. Don't keep your connection to the National Federation of the Blind a secret. Share our Federation with others in your local community. Take ideas from the convention on Friday's empowerment seminar to help us reach out to underserved communities. Take ideas that you learn at the convention and bring them back to make our chapters more engaging and for make yourself more successful. Find ways to share the gift that is our belief in the capacity of blind people. Invite people to the table. Show them the love that brought you into the Federation. And together, there is nothing we can't accomplish. We are the National Federation of the Blind.